Now, on a scale of 0 to 10, Donald Trump said it rated a 12. He was talking about his much-anticipated meeting with the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, where the president said they agreed to a one-year deal whereby Beijing would postpone restrictions on exports of rare earth minerals and Washington eased tariffs on advanced technology. The two met on the sidelines of the APEC summit in South Korea, and they'll apparently meet again in April, with plans for the US president to visit Beijing. I've been talking with Bonnie Glaser, who runs the Indo-Pacific program at the German Marshall Fund in Washington. She's a China expert who in the past has advised the Pentagon. Bonnie Glaser, thanks for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Thanks for having me.
Donald Trump described the meeting as amazing. He said it was a 12 out of 10. How did you rate this hour and 40-minute meeting?
Well, I think if President Trump rated it a 12, then Xi Jinping probably rated it even higher. The Chinese got the United States to reduce the tariff rate on China to approximately 31% and persuaded the U.S. to roll back a new export control rule that it had announced in September that would have blacklisted thousands of Chinese companies. The U.S. wins were Chinese purchases of agricultural products and the suspension of an export licensing scheme that has made it very difficult for American companies and other companies around the world to get access to rare earth minerals and magnets. So I wouldn't really call it a draw. I think actually the Chinese came out ahead.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because sort of Donald Trump got the narrative in quite early that this was a great sort of success for Australia. But over the last sort of 24 or 36 hours, the Chinese have put their side of the story. And it does look like they got a lot of stuff out of this. As you say, more access to American advanced technology. And that really is a very significant shift in U.S. trade policy.
Well, we'll have to see whether they really get access to more advanced semiconductor technology. In advance of the meeting, President Trump had telegraphed that he might talk about one of the new advanced NVIDIA chips that would, in fact, give China a great deal of capability. But apparently didn't come up in the meeting, and it remains to be seen whether Trump allows that chip to be exported. So I think we're still not clear on what China is going to get in terms of technology, but they have prevented the addition of up to something like 20,000 Chinese companies from being blacklisted.
Aside from the sort of substance of the meeting, a lot of people were struck by the sort of body language of the meeting that was interesting to observe. I mean, the diplomatic default when meeting Donald Trump and other international leaders is basically to almost treat him like a monarch and to shower him with sort of lavish praise. Xi Jinping is not that sort of guy. I mean, what did you make of the optics of the meeting?
Well, of course, these are two very different personalities. Trump exhibits many different emotions in public when he's angry or when he is pleased. Everybody knows. Xi Jinping is more stoic. He reveals very little about his inner thoughts. I don't think the optics really revealed anything about the relationship between the two leaders, even though Trump has said that Xi Jinping and he are very close friends. And I don't think it told us very much about the balance of leverage in the relationship either. Xi Jinping cares much more about what happens behind closed doors than what President Trump says when standing alongside him.
One of the reasons why this meeting is so significant and the substance of this meeting is so significant, rare earth minerals, advanced technology, is because the power struggle that we're going to see between the US and China over the coming years and decades is going to be about which country can get the technological edge. I wonder what your sense is at the moment in terms of that race, which country is where?
Well, there's certainly a struggle going on. Increasingly, the Chinese have made clear that they want to be dominant in technology, many areas of scientific development. They want to lead in innovation. They want to be self-reliant. They want to reduce their vulnerabilities to the rest of the world. And they want the rest of the world to be dependent on them. That's the very clear development strategy that Xi Jinping is pursuing. But it remains to be seen whether one country actually emerges at to be the top dog in this competition. We could see over a very prolonged period, the U.S. leading in some areas, China leading in others. But the big question in my view is, how will the international system evolve in the future, and which country is going to really be the leader in terms of setting the norms, the standards, the practices? And if it is China, then the international system will be more favorable to China and to authoritarian states. And that should be of concern to all democracies.
That is a fascinating question that you raise. And I wonder how you answer your own question.
I think it is premature to predict who is going to emerge at the top of the international system. But I am increasingly concerned that China is achieving some success in particularly developing countries, the so-called global south. Also in Southeast Asia in particular, where countries are hedging, but they're worried about the staying power of the United States. And so there could be some greater accommodation to China. There are some worrisome trends, but I think we will see, particularly when the national security strategy comes out and the national defense strategy, I think we'll see that the Indo-Pacific region remains a high priority for the United States.
Bonnie, a final thought. I mean, if this meeting hadn't have worked out, and there was the potential for a sort of blow-up, wasn't there, because of the tensions over trade, we would have seen an escalation in that trade war, which would have had implications for every country, including Australia, in terms of a potential economic downturn. I wonder whether this meeting was an acknowledgement that these two massive economies just rely on each other now. They cannot be decoupled. That the US and China, out of economic necessity, will have to find ways of managing their differences.
There is some economic decoupling underway. I think the US and China will continue to trade with each other. There is an acknowledgement, of course, there is interdependence. But both sides are trying to reduce their vulnerabilities. And there's no certainty that they will focus on managing their differences. So I don't rule out that whatever agreements were reached, which have not been signed on paper, could end up falling apart. Maybe promises that have been made will not be kept. Maybe rare earths that the Chinese have said that they will supply, maybe they will not deliver. So we will see how the U.S.-China relationship develops going forward. I think it remains fragile.
Watch this space. Bonnie Glaser, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Thanks for having me.
That was Bonnie Glaser, who runs the Indo-Pacific program at the German Marshall Fund in Washington, D.C.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.